last, when we were in committee, the last we understood the average home was assessed at 405,224, which at this tax rate at 1.15 would come up to about $180 increase. With the decrease in value, do we have an idea? Because I was hoping to see the dollar amount that it would increase.
$7.33
Okay, do we have, based on an average home, do we have a dollar amount?
$7.33 per $100,000 of value.
In committee, we came into, I don't have a calculator in front of me, but is there anybody we can get a quick math synopsis and give an actual number? I mean, it was 180 at 405,224.
Using the average is not really going to be effective here because the average isn't the mean.
It's been decreased.
But Heather and Dr. Clark gave the number of $7.33 increase per $100,000 of home value. That is the amount of the increase.
Okay, but in committee, we came up with a dollar amount, a yearly dollar amount increase based on this. I'm asking if we can get a feel of what the annual increase will be. That's all I'm asking. I think it's a fair question.
I'm getting confused. It is going up $7.33 per $100,000
value. I'm very clear of that. I don't want to go tit for tat here. All I'm asking is when we were in committee, we understood it to be a $180 increase based on the 405,224. I don't have a calculator in front of me because this is all, I see this tonight, I see there's a decrease in the home value. I'm asking if somebody could do a quick number crunch and given what the annual increase would be. I'm not holding you to the dollar, to the exact penny. I mean, it's a fair question. It's a fair question.
May I answer that, Kevin?
Go for it.
Mr. Malloy. In the front of your binder, Mr. Freda, there is an analysis that we handed out as well. If you look to see, making the assumptions that we made this evening, the average assessed value when we were in committee, I kept the value the same because we didn't know of the answer. Mm-hmm. We have better information since Friday evening. Mm-hmm. So it's assessed. We assumed that the average home value would decrease at the same rate. So the cost would be approximately $30 per household on that $392,000 house. Okay?
Thank you.
So it's two ways of looking at the same information. That's $735 per $100,000. If the average home is $392,000, it works out to about $30. So it'd be about $30.
Okay. That's a fair question, I thought.
Sure.
Thank you.
Come on, board members. Anybody have any questions? Dan?
Heather, in your analysis of the changes, and I'm in the cost per pupil page, and I'm comparing that to how do our costs per pupil compare. What I'm curious about is that a couple of districts, ourselves included, made rather significant leaps forward, and that is to come a little bit higher up on the positive side of that ranking. Specifically, I'm looking at Flemington-Raritan moving from a 10-11 ranking of 42 to 37, and Branchburg going from 74 to 55, which is rather significant. Were you able to uncover or are you aware of anything that would be a genesis as to why those districts had such a significant move as compared to other districts in the state?
I do not, but I can look into that for you and see what their changes were.
Well,
it looks like...
I was just going to say, just a quick look, and I don't know if this makes the difference or not, but if you look at their state aid number, if you look at Flemington-Raritan, they're getting 15% is state aid, whereas we get 10%.
And do we know what would cause that differential?
I believe a lot of it is dependent on also your enrollment. So if they are seeing an increasing enrollment at a greater rate than we are or decreasing enrollment, that would cause their cost per pupil to drop substantially as well. One of the challenges with cost per pupil, obviously, is the other piece is the number of students. So even if costs stay the same as your pupils, your total number of pupils decline, your costs increase. So I don't know the specific answer for those, but it is possible that that is the answer, and I can help you with that as well.
I live in Branchburg. They closed the school.
Oh.
That's right. I can answer that.
Thank you.
And in looking at the state funding numbers that we've been provided with so far, they look pretty good. They're an increase. Do we have any way of assessing what the risk factor is of our not receiving all of those monies and the potential impacts?
Can you repeat that? I'm not sure I'm following.
Yeah, I'm just curious on the numbers, at least, that we're receiving or just received so far right after the governor's speech, as far as state aid that is coming to our school district. Are there any risk factors that we're aware of that might impact the state fulfilling their, let's call it, obligation, if I may use that term?
Well, I would think that's probably more of a political question than a fiscal, but for my money, the only thing that would impact it would be insolvency by the state. Once out, those numbers are pledged for the school year, and we should be receiving the full amount of the aid, I believe, in one summer. Is it parceled?
It's split over the 10 months of the school year, beginning on July 1st.
I think the only potential impact would be a failure in the full faith and credit of the state of New Jersey. So there's probably some risk.
at the same time, they have been known to withhold payments. I recall a couple of years where the last payment or last two payments were not made to the school district. When they divide up the payments, they just didn't pay us.
Was this in a prior district?
It's happened. Happened across the state.
Was there a circumstance surrounding it, or?
I believe it was just a revenue issue. There was not enough revenue to meet the projected budget.
Okay.
And there is a potential legislative block. We have a proposed tentative budget. It has to go through the legislature.
Right.
In the past 2 years, I think it's come out pretty whole after the proposed budget. But there is, the potential for legislative action.
So there's political pressure, but I don't think we can actually budget a downside to not receiving state aid responsibly. I don't know how we would get through that, but you're point is taken, well taken.
So my net would be is looking at these numbers in comparisons to like school districts, we're actually doing pretty well, and we're improving up the competitive ranks on these.
We are, and as we, are you talking about cost per pupil or aid?
Yeah. Cost per pupil as compared to like school districts.
Yes. I mean, and which is probably the most appropriate barometer for purposes of our discussion.
And Mrs. Spitzer, these are all I districts. These, obviously, we are in the other four.
Well, I'm not sure about Reddington and Branchburg.
Reddington is.
They are our same operating group in Hunterdon County. That's the reason we pulled those for comparison within the county. We pulled Branchburg and Warren Township as I districts in our operating group, relatively close for some comparison numbers as well.
What do you mean when you say operating group?
The size of the district.
Okay. K-8 districts with more than 750 students is our operating group. Okay. There are K-6s, there are K-12s. That's
touched on it briefly during your presentation, and it's on the budget highlights here. We've talked about this at other budget meetings. There are some budget items that we've built in with regard to school safety and security. Some of them are in here, not in great detail, but those are the buckets where there is some attention being given to school security in the coming budget year.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I was ready for a question.
If I did, I didn't do very well. Members of the board, any other questions at this time for Dr. Clark or Mrs. Spitzer on the tentative budget?
I just wanted to say, there was a page on savings and revenue. Mm-hmm. Did I talk about that page or did I miss it? in the presentation.
You went over it.
I went over it quickly? Okay.
No, you went past it.
I went past it, all right.
You didn't discuss the
savings. Because I just wanted to go back and say that one of the things that we did in terms of savings, we restructured our debt, so we saved approximately $1 million over the life of the bonds. We went out on a bid for transportation, and the initial savings, just the initial savings on the first bid, are $284,000. We restructured office staffing to save about $95,000. We added in this budget a part-time secretary for special services. And the reason we're doing that is that right now we have a large number of referrals that are coming in where our child study team has to do assessments. Part of doing the assessments is the clerical work that's attached to all those assessments. If we put in a part-time secretary who can do a lot of that clerical work for us, the child study team can actually do additional assessments as opposed to spending time doing clerical work, which requires us to then have to outsource because they don't have enough time to get it all done. So it'll save us some on professional services. I also wanted to share that school choice does bring in revenue. We've talked about this before. It was originally slated for us to get $12,500 per student. The state increased that to $13,016. Am I right? I remember the number, right? $13,016 for the coming year. So the revenue for school choice is going up.
The members of the board have had the opportunity, most specifically the Facilities and Finance Committee, to see some of the work product that Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and the school leadership team has exhibited during the year with regard to being careful about spending and looking for opportunities for savings. Dr. Clark reviewed some of these items in her presentation, like refinancing of debt, putting the bus contract out for bid, the school choice revenue that we brought in. So the draft or the tentative budget that you see tonight has extensive effort put into it with regard to cost savings and revenue generation where those opportunities exist. So if there's no other questions by the board, we're going to move on to public comment. Okay, at this time, we have the second recognition of the public. Any member of the public can speak before the board. Please approach the mic, tell us your name and where you live, and try to respect the three-minute speaking rule if you can.
Hi, Amy Mack-Isaac, 24 Riverbend Road. A couple questions and one comment. When you were speaking of comparing us to other districts that were similar, I'm just curious if those districts, how many school choice students they take in compared to us. How much of, you know, I see how much of our budget comes from school choice money. I just wonder if that's comparable in those districts as well. School choice is by my issue. I have a big issue with school choice. And I don't know if I'm just bitter about property values going down. I'm honest about my emotions. I feel like I don't understand it. I understand it brings revenue to the district, but it draws property values in the town down. Because if I can live in a cheaper town, you know, it costs less to buy a house in another town where the school is not as good, but still send my kid to our district, which is great. Why wouldn't I do that? You know, I just feel like that point doesn't ever get explored or recognized. And as a taxpayer and a homeowner who's watching the value of my house, like everyone else I know, go down, I feel like that's a contributory factor that people need to at least explore. And my kids are friends with kids from other towns, and I think that's great. And if I lived in another town, I would want to send my kids here too. That's just my beef with school choice. My other quick comment is, you spoke, Dr. Clark, about raising, adding more teachers for basic skills, which I have four children. They are all across the board. Some have been classified, some are more advanced. And just a comment, one of the things I really like about this district that I tote to all my friends that don't live here is how great it is that my son, who was once classified and is, you know, doing great and needed some extra help in reading and went to see Mrs. Allen and now he's reading great, he had that opportunity and it really helped him, and I saw that and I love that he had that opportunity. On the other hand, my older daughter is more advanced and she does Reading Olympics and she does Word Masters, and I'd like to just make sure that not only do we have all those basic skills, but that we also have on the other end of it the enrichment programs that help the kids on the other side, so that we, you know, we have a good balance there.
Thank you very much, Mrs. McGarth. Relating to your comment on school choice, it's something that we've been looking at since the program was initiated, and we continue to look at it, and we will every year. We'll have Board of Education meetings where school choice will be the topic, where we'll seek feedback from members of the public. We have discussions about it as a Board of Education. We discuss it with our school leadership. Me personally, the school choice program, I look at it as an opportunity to bring revenue to the district, and what that revenue does is it allows us to keep the tax levy down. There's very few opportunities for revenue as a school district, and this particular one was attractive because of the amount of money involved. Along with that, we've been able to add back programs, curricular programs, special services programs, enrichment programs, basic skill staff, partially how we look at funding things such as activities that we just were not able to do prior to this source of revenue becoming available. So me personally, from my perspective, it is something that we keep an eye on. But for me, I've seen it allow us to improve some of the programs within the school that we lost in years past because of lack of revenue.
I'd also like to share that when we first started with school choice, we were one of the few districts that was utilizing school choice. Right now, almost, I think, every district in Hunterdon County has opened up school choice. And I believe it did impact some of the application numbers that Clinton Township received, and this year, we actually turned down students in school choice because we didn't want to expand too much further than what we already had. We opened up a few more spots to balance out some classes, but that was it. So other districts have opened up spots. I don't know that in Hunterdon County there are as many as large as ours, or as attractive as Clinton Township. However, more districts are taking in school choice students now than did before.
But we'll keep talking about that. You'll see that on board agendas in the future. And I just want to let you know that we look at it very carefully. We do weigh the pros and cons. And I take your point about balancing funding for special services and enrichment activities as well. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Susan Aylard. I'm the librarian at Spruce Run and Patrick Garin. I was just curious about the school choice. Are we losing students to school choice to other districts? And how big of an impact is that on our budget? And I'm going to just real quick, you mentioned before asking the board about when you were not here, about the specials teachers that travel. Well, just so you know that the technology teacher and myself still travel between Spruce Run and Patrick McGarrett.
We're not losing very many students to school choice. I know of three. Heather, have you heard of any more? Three is, I think, the number. Three students to school choice. And some of them have to do with where their parents are working, so it's easier in terms of managing their child care and such.
Okay, anybody else from the public? We're still in second recognition. It's an opportunity to speak to the board on any matter. If you have anything you'd like to approach the board about, please approach the mic. Okay, seeing none, at this time we're going to move on to facilities and finance. We do have an action item to move.
Two
action items to move, 109 and 110. Kevin, do you have a committee report at this time?
Sure. A couple of quick statements. Mark, related to before, I was sorry if I confused you or frustrated you. I didn't know that you were asking for the dollar amount, not the formula. So didn't mean to be obstinate. Just think we were talking past each other. So I apologize for that. So the budget committee, since our last public meeting, met, had a fairly extensive meeting late last week to put some final touches on the tentative budget that was presented here tonight and they were about to move. And a couple of quick statements on that. I'd like to thank the entire board and the various committees for their input. I'd like to thank our educators, building principals, teachers for their committee. And it's a bit out of protocol, but I think I'm going to put somebody on the spot and embarrass them, even though they're definitely not interested in being embarrassed. But Heather Spitzer worked, nobody's counting, but I think 28 of the last 33 days with our superintendent, with the Board of Education, with the teachers, to try and put together what you see tonight. And tonight's presentation sort of being the least of it. She was pretty tireless in making sure that not only did the public have all the information available in an easy-to-digest way, but she did so in helping our finance and facilities budget craft what I personally believe is a very strong budget that responsibly manages the needs of the children in our district to help provide a top-flight educational experience. I particularly like the part where you said our district was great. I happen to agree. I think our district is great. And I think, Heather, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot like this, but I feel compelled to mention and give you some special thanks, at least from where I'm sitting on finance and facilities. You kicked a lot of butt here, so congratulations and good job. So, having said that, so now she's thoroughly embarrassed. I'm going to hear about it later. We do, in fact, have two action items to move. FF109, of course, is the approval of the tentative budget that shows expenditures, revenues, and the tax levy, as pointed out before. One quick item of clarification related to that resolution. If you look on page 4, about halfway down, Mark Freda pointed this out, and thank you for that, Mark. There is a part of the resolution on the budget that does show the Board of Education approves travel and related expense reimbursements in accordance with NJIC 6A:23A-7.3B1 to a maximum expenditure of $100,000 for all staff and board members. That is a clarification point within our budget, and Heather, correct me where I go wrong here, related to what we must declare for maximum travel. This is simply a point of order. The number does appear high relative to prior years because in prior years we did not accurately, in my opinion, fully digest the travel needs of the district for training, curriculum, et cetera. So we think that this number is more reflective of what the expense will be for those items. And the second item is the approval of, fees for the spring athletic programs, boys and girls lacrosse, baseball, and softball, which we anticipate fees after Board of Education support of approximately 25%. Please note, this is actually pretty important, that as we talk about these extracurriculars, the sports and clubs are in fact subject to cancellation due to inadequate participation counts, and a full refund will be made in the event an activity is canceled. So, with those comments in mind, I seek a movement of action items 13FF109 and 13FF110.
So moved.
Let's do them separate. And actually, we have another opportunity for discussion, so we have a motion and a second. Let's do them separately. We'll discuss and move them separately.
Okay.
If it's okay with you.
That's fine with me. So we'll start with first I seek movement on 13FF109, please.
So we have a motion on 109.
So moved.
A second by Maria.
A second.
Okay, motion by Maria and a second by Michelle Sullivan. So now we have an opportunity for discussion on 109, which is the tentative budget.
If I may, even if I moved, I just wanted to point something out regarding the co-curricular and the extracurricular participation, and I think it bears mentioning. Last year, when it was brought to our attention on the funding, we actually had a fairly spirited discussion about this, and the board determined at that time it wasn't economically feasible as presented. I was one of them who regretfully wasn't able to vote for full participation, but given this year the way that I think we've managed this funding and managed co-curriculars and clubs, I actually have come to the realization that if carefully managed, this can be a well-done and responsible part of a well-rounded education. I played sports and did clubs when I was a kid, and I actually don't want to diminish the value of classroom instruction. That's obviously the most important reason why the kids are here, but clubs and sports are, in fact, a big part of a child's education, and they are part of an educational experience. I believe later on this evening, Dan McTiernan is going to move some items, including stipends for coaches. You'll note that those coaches work in our school district. They teach. Why? Why are we hiring teachers? Because it is an educational experience. So I know that there's some controversy surrounding that. I know there may be some dissenting views. I will respect those views, but I just thought it would be appropriate for me to explain my position on that. So thank you.
I was wondering if Mrs. Spitzer could review with the board all of the work that needs to go into administrating the program now when it's 25% funded versus what the difference might be if the board were to fund the co-curricular activities with the level of sports that we have at the moment.
In the current year, we have three seasons of sports. We have the fall, winter, and spring. Currently, the process is our athletic coordinator will put those programs together, come up with some sort of a budget, and present it to me so that we can go through and calculate potential costs. After we go through that process, we do pass those costs along at 75% to the participants. The process then is to bill and collect and follow through on trying to make sure that these sports continue to run. At 25% with this, the fall, winter, and spring sports, I believe it's about a $40,000 increase year over year if we were to fully fund them at 100%. Again, those are the programs that we currently have in place, not introducing any new programs that have not run in the last year. So that's currently what is proposed in this budget. There are, in addition, transportation costs with that, which I believe was an additional $15,000 year over year to transport the students. Currently, we are only transporting one way. The forecast in the budget is to transport the students to and from each event.
Can you elaborate on, and I think this also bears mentioning, because as we talk about this, you know, you and I work closely together in my role, and I've seen what you do, but I think, and Maria, maybe this is where you're getting it to, maybe you could elaborate on what the board office or what the district office needs to do to manage a 25% participation in terms of the logistics of 25% participation.
Well, we get a lot of support as well from the secretary and the athletic coordinator at the middle school as well as the principal. There's a lot of people involved in this process for the 25% contribution versus the 75% participation charged to each student. There are many people involved in determining what the costs are, not only calculating the costs, but billing the costs, collecting the costs, And it really is quite an elaborate process to ensure that we do not exceed the 25%. And there isn't always a guarantee that we won't do that. There's a lot of different things that go into that calculation as well. And there are some instances in the spring and fall we did generate refunds. There are a lot of things to consider if there's bad weather, that the students don't aren't transported to the events. That, again, is backed out of the cost if it doesn't actually run. So it's really quite a dynamic calculation because it really is very fluid. So it is a little bit more effort than it seems like it should be in the long run.
Can I just follow up? Are there more efficiencies for our board office as well as the folks at CTMS who run it if we fully fund it versus having it partially funded at 25%? So do we achieve more efficiencies internally if we just fully fund and handle everything than trying to collect checks from parents, refund parents, chase parents down who perhaps haven't paid us yet, et cetera, et cetera? Will there be a better balance for us of efficiencies for people in our district?
I think if you're asking my opinion, it would be yes. I think that in the long run, for the little amount of money that it's generating in terms of the time and energy it's taking several people to do, as well as the frustration with the parents, it's a difficult process.
Okay, thank you.
Just I'm going to chime in here. When we talked about it, we talked about going to 50%, and I was an advocate for that. Going to 100%, I mentioned that was philosophically and fundamentally opposed. It's not a dollar amount here. It's $55,000, I guess. It's a matter of if it's $55,000 worth of work being produced. For me, I'd rather see this $55,000 go to classroom education, maybe facilities, maybe the security issues we have. That's where I would like to see the money go, if we're going to increase it. Again, it's a philosophical and fundamental belief. I don't support it in this budget, that particular point, and I feel I want to be consistent in how I presented it, because in the past I was like that, and I want to be consistent right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
And when I look at, from a corporate perspective, when we're hiring people, what we're looking for is the well-rounded students. Many students, when they get through college, are not hired because they've spent all their time in a classroom. They're excellent with book learning, but they've not learned how to work with a team. They've not learned how to work in a competitive environment. They've not learned how to deal with disagreements. And so what, from a corporate perspective, we would look at is that well-rounded person that is not just learning in a classroom, but they're learning life's experiences. And that translates into very positive success in the economic environment for this country. So just as a point of interest, I would be supportive of anything that would encourage students' participation, not only in the classroom, but in extracurricular activities, because it rounds out the person and keeps them involved in the community. We have to look at today, we're looking at the generations that are being put forth out of the schools, and as we move towards technology, what we're really doing is we're reducing the person interfaces. And that is that we're texting, we're looking at vehicles of communication such as YouTube and others where we don't interface with people anymore. We're getting rid of libraries. Not that they're gone from here, but people aren't going to libraries because they're going through everything on the internet. They're not learning how to do proper research with persons. So that when you put a person on a team and you're looking at a team environment, in a business perspective, whether that be in the public sector or the private sector, people need to learn how to interact with one another in order to make that team successful. And I would just put in a support for anything we can do to expand participation of students at this young age will benefit them tremendously as they go through life, and especially as they go through their educational experiences.
Just for frame of reference, going back a few years, Michelle Cressy will be familiar with this, but some other board members might not. Prior to 3 years ago, the school funded all sports and activities. It was a school funded. There was no cost to participate. 3 years ago, when we put out our budget, we had a second question. The second question had all the sports and all the activities on it. The budget failed. So by state law, none of those activities could run the following year. Even if you found funding within your budget, you couldn't run them. I think we ran the drama club because it was self-funded, but other than that, nothing else ran. 2 years ago, we budgeted a much smaller menu of sports and activities at 25%. Last year, we did the same thing. It was the same menu, a smaller number of sports, smaller number of activities. I think one or two activities didn't run because of lack of participation, but that was also 25%. So what is being proposed in this tentative budget is proposing that same number of sports and activities at 100%. The dollars involved, when we were subsidizing at 25%, that would have been $13,000 to $15,000. So if you're projecting, Mrs. Spitzer, $55,000, is that a correct number for the year?
I believe, Kevin, the change, the increase, including transportation, is somewhere around 59.
Yeah, it's okay. 59 and 60. And that's the change.
Okay, so we're discussing going from 25%. It'll be $59,000 additional to fund it at
100%. Correct.
So that's the history. That's a three-year history plus proposed for next year. And the dollars in question are $59,000 additional prior to what we had funded for the past 2 years.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, I'm sorry.
The transportation costs involved, these teams, are they typically going to a township like Blount Park, or are we utilizing the fields that we have? For example, when Round Valley School used to be our middle school, all of the teams participated on those fields. So is there cost savings to us to perhaps try to arrange games at Round Valley School as opposed to renting field space?
We'd still have to transport them to Round Valley, though. Yeah. Rachel, I think we'd still have to transport them to Round Valley, and the township does not charge us for the use of Bund Park.
Okay.
So that's a free charge. So if we could eliminate the transportation portion of it, then it would absolutely make sense to utilize what we have. But at the time, we'd still have to get a bus. It's almost probably equidistant.
And it doesn't change the road games.
Yeah,
so the kids are primarily, not primarily, the kids are all here in this school that play sports.
Okay.
So if they're going anywhere but here, then there's transportation. Okay, any other comments on subsidy of activities or anything else in the tentative budget?
Yeah, when you were talking about the increase that we were looking at for extracurricular activities. Two questions. The first one is, are you, just a little guidance for the amount of effort. I don't diminish the amount of effort or the loss of opportunity costs because we only have limited opportunities for our time. Is this pretty much a wash for the amount of expenditure that we would have by increasing this versus the additional opportunity that we would be able to do with the additional staff time?
You have to take that one, Heather.
Well, one of the things that I think it's hard to measure it exactly. Yeah. However, let me give you an example of something that the business office was able to find and savings because they took enormous amount of time to go through this, all right? And I'm hoping that if we have the staff to do this, we can find additional cost savings. But an example, and some of you may be horrified, however, right? If you remember where I said we had some savings was in utilities, all right? That was because the business office found that there was some double booking, all right, not double booking, double billing, all right, being charged by the utilities company to the school district. And because we have some new staff who are very thorough and who already are coming in on weekends to catch up with work, all right, already coming in on weekends. They found some of this double billing and started asking questions about it. And we were able to go back to the company and not pay those bills and make sure we didn't get those additional charges. That's a really important thing, to go through all of these bills that we get in the district. And I want staff that can spend time doing that. Right now, just to do their regular work, they're coming in on weekends and staying late. These are not people who punch a clock, all right? It's amazing to be in that office. I don't want to embarrass them. However, they don't punch a clock. They work long hours. They see us. They see Heather and I there late. They stay late to help. They see Heather come in on a Saturday to work on something. They come in to support on a weekend. So I want them spending time doing that kind of productive work that saves the district even more money. So I think you put it very well, Mrs. Sullivan. You said opportunity costs. Those are opportunity costs that I can't calculate right now, but that I suspect are there, and I want to make sure they're spending their time doing the right thing. Other than what happens is every time we come up with an amount of money, all right, and the enormous amount of time that's spent coming up with that amount of money, parents question how we come up with that amount of money. So it's not just coming up with the amount of money, all the calculations, but then it's responding to the parents who are also complaining, God bless them, for you know, the charge in that amount of money. And if there's games canceled for rain or whatever the cancellations are, and we had a lot of rain cancellations this past year, when are they going to get their refunds back? And how fast are they going to get their refunds back? So, and then all you have to wait and calculate it based on all those things. So it's an enormous amount of time and drain that I would prefer our people spend on what I think is more productive work. So do I think that it's evening out? Yes, I do. I already know it from the utilities bills. If there's more savings to be found, you know, then we're going to really make money on it all.
Dr. Clark, can I add something to that? Because one of the other things, I mean, we were able to, and in your slide, we were able to restructure the business office to a savings of $95,000, which does admittedly put more stress on the people who work in the office, but you've already spoken to that. I think, too, one of the things that happens here is, and Heather, I'll let you answer this, I don't think we're actually on a 25% due to all the, there's arrears billing and give back, and now you've got separate bookkeeping issues. I don't actually think we're collecting the full 25% due to the stress on that. And I'm not being cavalier about the funding. I mean, Mark, your points, very well taken. Respect them. But what we're doing is, for literally 0.2% of the budget, stretching out the ability of Heather, Drew, and the team, you know, to find, how much did we find in utilities? Six figures in utilities. And for my money, improving the educational experience of the kids, making the parents' lives perhaps a bit easier. So, just my take.
Okay, any other comments on activities or school sports subsidy? Any other comments on the tentative budget?
Just on the, when Kevin talked about the traveling related expenses, for the record, it was 25, now it's budgeted at 100.
Yes.
Okay, just for the record. Thank you.
Well, for, yeah, go ahead.
Mr. Freda, it's not an actual budget number.
Well,
it's a maximum cap that we're required to establish by law, and with all of the additional P&D we've put in the budget, we've needed to increase that. But you are correct. It was 25,000 last year, and the estimate is 100 this year.
Sorry, Mark, I thought you were talking about the percentage of the subsidy, 25% to 100%.
No,
he was talking about travel.
Yeah, no. No, I said my piece on that.
Okay. We're wrapping up comments on FF 109. We have a motion and a second. So now we're looking for a roll call vote on FF109.
Ms. Questy?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes to this tentative budget.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on. We also have a motion and a second for FF110. You want to do it again? Okay. Seeking a motion for FF110, we're going to do it again.
So moved.
By Michelle Sullivan. And a second?
Second.
By Rachel McLaughlin. So we have the motion and a second on 110. We have an opportunity to discuss the subsidy, or actually the rate setting for the spring sports. Mind you, this is not the proposed budget for next year. This is rate setting for this coming spring for the sport. Any comments or questions on 110?
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Okay, moving on to personnel negotiations. We do have some action items. Dan McTiernan is the chair of this committee. Dan, do you have any committee report?
Yes, we met last Friday afternoon. Dr. Clark already highlighted a number of things that we discussed in that meeting in regards to the nursing situation, the demands on the nurses as far as additional care, the laws that are out there that have to be taken care of, and also a little bit of discussion on HIPAA requirements there too and making sure that we meet the needs of the patients that are within the school. And looking at what alternatives there are or methodologies that can be utilized to support the existing nurses. And also second with that, with the administrative staff and all of the schools. So hopefully we've proposed a couple things that are in the budget that will allow us to resolve those situations. Additionally, the personnel committee just makes sure that on action items PN 172 and 173, that the administrative staff is following the policies, processes, and procedures associated with the school district and the laws in the land in making selections. And therefore, we put forth is 172, which is the Township Middle School Spring Athletic Programs, the stipends that are in accordance with the negotiated agreement, and PN 173, which is approving a selected substitute nurse when required at the schools in the township.
Okay, thank you, Dan. So we're seeking a motion on 172 and 173.
So moved.
By Kevin Malloy, and a second.
Second.
By Maria Grant. So any discussion on 172 and 173?
I just had a question. I noticed that a number of the stipend positions have people that are either in their first or second year, right? If it's a 0 year, it's their first attempt, and one is the second. What's the process for hiring for stipend positions? Maybe you could just go over that.
There's a notice put out that there is an opening, and teachers apply for that.
Do they have to have prerequisite knowledge regarding the sport?
Yes, some.
Okay. Thanks.
So year one, so for the first one here, boys lacrosse, year one signifies
the second year.
Mm-hmm. And the second position, girls lacrosse, Caitlin Hughes, this would be her first year coaching.
At the middle school.
Okay.
General question, is this has this district offered girls lacrosse before this year?
No.
And I think this is the first year, isn't it?
It didn't run last year because of lack of participation.
Cool. Good luck. It's awesome.
Any other questions or comments on 172 or 173?
Ms. Presti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mr. McTiernan?
Yes.
Mrs. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
And Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
All yes, motion carries.
Before we look at adjourning, I would just like to share with everyone that I have contacted Mayor Sumay about sharing information about the school budget with the town council. The mayor and I have spoken before. We have a very positive relationship. I want to thank Hurricane Sandy for the opportunity, for being able to work with the town as soon as I came into the district, and build that positive relationship. So I spoke to him about sharing information with the budget. We talked a little bit about it, and he invited us to a council meeting. So I think there's one with some available time on March 27th, which is after we adopt our budget. So I spoke to the chair of finance, Mr. Malloy, and so Mrs. Spitzer and I and Mr. Malloy, and we're looking for a couple of other board members to go with us. So let me know if you look at your calendar. I'm gonna call the mayor tomorrow and talk to him about that so that we can set something up to just do a short presentation to the town council in our efforts to share communication.
As school board liaison to the council, I would like to partake if possible.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes tonight's meeting. I'm seeking a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
By Mark Freda, and a second?
Second.
Are we going to do INA on this one?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Thank you for coming, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Yes.
He's
the liaison to the town council, so
I guess it would be appropriate.
He's a likely candidate.